Welcome to the Refuse to Lose Coaching Podcast. In today's episode, we are talking about the story of This Is Good and why carrying a positive attitude is important. The story of This Is Good starts off with a king and his best friend. And the king and his best friend knew each other for quite some time. And his best friend was always by the king's side. The king loved his best friend's positivity. And no matter what was happening, no matter what adversity was being faced, what challenge was ahead of them, what hurdle was ahead of them, the king's best friend would always say, "This is good. This is good." And the king really appreciated his positivity. So the king and his best friend went on a hunting trip. And in the process of the hunting trip, the best friend blew the finger of the king off. And the king was irate and yelling and screaming. And in his anger, was just having a go. His best friend looked at him and said, "Hey, this is good." And the king said, "There's no way this is good," and throws his best friend in jail. For a year and a half, his best friend's in jail. King's going on living his life. Well, the king's out on another hunting trip. And the hunting party gets captured by a group of local cannibals. And the cannibals start eating the hunters one by one. But as the cannibals came to the king, they noticed his finger was missing. And the cannibals were very superstitious and would not eat anything that wasn't whole or clean. So because the king was missing his finger, the cannibals let him go. The king realized pretty quick, "Oh my goodness, my best friend just saved my life." Runs back to the jail, gets on his knees, very apologetic to his best friend. I'm sorry, please forgive me, please forgive me." And his best friend says, "This is good. I forgive you. This is good." And the king says, "I know it was good for me, but why was it good for you? You were just in jail for a year and a half because of me. How is this possibly good for you? Tammy, how is this good for the king's best friend?"
Where would the best friend have been? He was always by the king's side. So he would have been in that hunting party, and he would have been captured by the cannibals, and he would no longer have his life. So he loses a year and a half of his life in jail, but has his life.
And this is why it's good. So the friend carries this positive mentality. Why is it important for him to have this positive mentality through life, the king's friend?
Well, I think the whole theme of the story is that you have to keep a positive outlook on life. If we keep the faith, keep the positivity, often something better is going to happen in the long run.
So how can athletes use the "this is good" mentality to improve their athletic performance?
Okay, good question. Let me ask you a question. What is good about an injury?
Nothing, right? You don't get to play, you're hurt, you got to go to rehab.
This is not a good mentality.
So, you know, it's funny that you asked that, because in my junior year, just before my junior year of college, I tore my ACL and had to miss my entire junior season. And the two biggest things I remember getting out of this, because I remember when I tore my ACL, we had just come off the championship season the year before. I had earned a starting position. I was a starter on the championship team. And I'm thinking, going into my junior year, like, you've got to be kidding me now. I'm going to miss my entire junior year after such a good sophomore season. But in that junior year, I can remember two things specifically that came out of it. One, the only exercise I was able to do, because I couldn't run, I couldn't do any soccer activities, all I could do was work on my upper body strength, which up until that point had been a weakness of mine. But because it was the only thing I could do, I had to focus on that, and that's where all my energy was, and I became the strongest I'd ever been above my waist. The other thing that came of it was I had the opportunity to obviously be on the bench for the entire season, and without the prospect of playing in any match, I was able to just be on the outside looking in from our team and look at it from a very holistic view, from a very team-first eyesight, And it's really what propelled me to want to be a coach and to get me into the career that I'm in now as a collegiate coach. So those are definitely the two good things that came out of the injury. So when you ask what's good about an injury, you know, the first response is nothing. But, you know, as I think about it, there were a couple goods out of it.
And you quickly came up with two reasons. Other reasons for an injury, sometimes people just need that mental break or that time to work on their mental game. In addition, I have a young lady that's injured right now, star of the team, maybe not always the best leader nor teammate, but she has taken this story and applied this as good, and her goal now is to use this time to work on her leadership, to work on being a good teammate. So again, it's how we choose to view it. You can hang your head, poor me, this injury, which you're probably not going to come back any better or stronger. Looking at it the way you did, looking at it like my client did, this is making you better in the long run. If you can get past the sadness, the unhappiness of you are hurt in this present moment.
So it's really about perspective and how you deal with the adversity.
Exactly. Let me give you another example. What's good about a loss?
Another good question. Cause,
hard for coaches.
Because as a coach, when you think about a loss, you think, well, actually, usually your first response is, this is not good. But I will tell you, as a coach, I'm a lot more analytical and critical after a loss from a learning perspective, not from necessarily I'm going to critique this player, but rather of, how do we get better? What do we need to get better? And I think sometimes when you win, especially if you start to put a winning streak together, you do tend to get complacent at times. And it is one of the threats of winning. But when you lose, you're certainly a lot more introspective in looking at your team and digesting what is going on and where you can make improvements and how you can get better.
Exactly. Often we don't learn in the wins. It's like, whew, we won. Let's move on to the next one. But how many championship teams have you heard that point back at a loss and say, wow, that's what woke us up, that's what got us going, and they learn from it, and they're being a learner instead of a loser, I'm sure you've heard that term, and they build on it, they find what they did wrong, and they don't want to experience that again.
I can remember Tim Tebow in his interview when he was playing with the Florida Gators the year that they won the national championship, that he had that well-documented dramatic speech after a loss, I believe it was to Mississippi State or Ole Miss, and looking at the media and essentially to the fans on the team and saying that this performance will not happen again. We will be better. And certainly they were better, and the rest is history from where that team went to. So.
Exactly. Great example there. But how many times, again, do we see teams that after a loss hang their heads, start pointing at the coach with their strategy, or start pointing at teammates, he did this, or let it affect their confidence. But if you apply this as good mentality, you're not doing any of those negative events, but focusing on what is good in this, how do I use this to get better?
So it is a long-term thought process. It is something that you have to look beyond just where you are, and see a little bit of a big picture at times, and being able to have that positive perspective of that, even in this moment, there is something better.
Long-term and even short-term to some degree. I mean, we never know, but we have to stay positive. If you don't stay positive, open-minded, but instead you're hanging your head, you're dwelling, you're pouting on something that bad has happened, then often you miss that good opportunity, or you miss that good in front of your eyes. Okay, one last example, we could go on forever with examples, but one of the things you hear athletes complaining about on teams the most is playing time.
Yes.
What is good, if I'm an athlete and I'm playing for you, what is good about me not getting the playing time that I want? I'm on the bench, I'm not starting, I want to play more.
Yeah, you know, as a coach, that's a conversation that probably comes into our office more than any other conversation. And you know, you stumped me here. I'm not really sure what the answer would be to why it's good to not be playing. But I'm sure you must have the right answer or unanswered.
Well, what I'm going to tell players is, How can you use that time that you're sitting there on the bench so when and if your time comes, you're ready? How much more productive are you going to be compared to if you're on that bench and you're pouting or moping or you're disengaged? You're not going to be prepared for when and if your time comes. So what you've told the coach is, hey, coach, you're right. I didn't deserve to start or play. Where if I'm preparing myself so when and if my time comes, then I'm ready. Do I use it to make myself a better teammate and giving energy, giving things to the team out there? But you never know. You know, my father was a coach and used to tell me, you're one play away. That so next true. Person on the bench is one play away. I think Ohio State's national football team was a great example this past year.
Absolutely.
But they were their third-string quarterback. Takes them to a national championship.
Yeah.
And again, we've used two football examples, but you could use them in almost every sport.
Well, I can think of an example from one of my previous teams where we had a young lady who played very well for us, scored lots of goals off the bench. And two or three games in a row, she'd score goals off the bench, play very well. We start her. Her performance isn't very good. We end up having to sub her out. We bring her off the bench the next game, scores another goal. That's and finally we realized the issue was that she was using that time on the bench very well. She didn't even realize it, but she was using that time on the bench to digest the game, to compute the game, to be ready. And, you know, obviously she needed to learn how to prepare as a starter, okay, but she did utilize that time very wisely on the bench to see her matchup, see what the strengths and weaknesses of her opponent that she'd be matched up against, see the rhythm of the game and have a feel for it, and, you know, ultimately did very well for us coming off the bench.
You know, a team I think people forget often is a team consists of every individual on the team, not those that are just on the playing field or surface. And everyone needs to be doing their job. So this is good mentality. You encourage those players. What is your job? This is good. This is going to make you stronger. This is going to make you better. And again, the majority that do that are going to come in and be productive.
Absolutely.
It may be the next game. It may be that game. It may be next year. But they're preparing themselves for when and if their time comes.
Because their mindset is more positive and it's stronger moving forward.
And this is good. We, every Sunday, you sit in front of the TV for your favorite NFL team and you cheer for them, or whatever sport maybe you follow, you cheer for them and cheer for them and cheer for them. Why don't you do that for the team that you work hard and train with every day?
That's a great point. That's a great point. So how can an athlete, how can coaches add this strategy to their, what you call their mental toolbox? How do they take the this is good story, you've given them, you know, why it's important, but now how do they take this as coaches and as athletes and use this strategy in their mental toolbox?
One thing I encourage coaches that I work with is question their players. They're in practice. Maybe something challenging happens. Maybe there's some adversity. Stop it. Hey, what's good about this moment? How can we use this moment to make us better? After a game, a lot of times I do hear from coaches, and that's usually one of my first questions. Okay, what is good about this? You know, a lot of them aren't always happy to hear that, and I think they might reach to the phone and wring my neck, but when they're able to, you know, have the emotional control, they see the benefit in that. So I think it's training the brains to think, okay, this isn't what I wanted to happen in the moment, but what is good about it? Because in society, we get, oh, that happened to me, poor me, or we get angry, or we get negative or disappointed, or we just stop caring. Instead of, okay, I need this to make me better. I'm going to be patient so something positive or better is coming. And you can apply this to life, not just sports.
Of course.
It's a great theme, and it's the basis of what I use at Refuse to Lose. It's my foundation of what I am trying to teach and share with coaches and athletes and teams.
And to pass on a positive perspective no matter what adversity is in front of you.
Exactly.
And this is good. We'll continue to put yourself in the right mind frame to move forward and to overcome every adversity. Thank you for tuning in today. Be sure to check out the Refuse to Lose coaching website at www.r2lc.com. Follow Refuse to Lose coaching on Twitter at r2lcoaching. If you are interested in having Coach Taman Matheny speak to your team or organization, contact her via the Refuse to Lose Coaching website at www.r2lc.com.